Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. For the people listening at home, we are recording this in the Wonderland Ballroom. For the people in the Wonderland Ballroom, please make some sort of noise so people at home know I'm not insane. Wonderful, wonderful. It is the first Friday in April. It is the Friday before WrestleMania. That's a very important day to me. I understand. That's right, one person who I'm clearly talking to for the rest of the show. Everyone else could fuck off because you're the only one that understands how the world operates. Okay, so what I did today was spend way too much time in my head trying to cull together the best WrestleMania from the first 33 WrestleManias. So what I'm going to do now is describe to you the ultimate WrestleMania based on all the previous WrestleManias, and most everyone in here will have no idea what I'm talking about. But lucky for you, none of this actually has anything to do with wrestling. So we'll go from there. Number one, just so you guys know, wrestling is pretty much run by a 70-something-year-old man that's insane, that cheats on his wife, that doesn't believe in unions or paying people's medical bills, and it just lies about everything and got away with a bunch of shit. It sounds like somebody else that I wrote a book about. Here we go. Okay. This man, Vince McMahon, doesn't believe in the Star Spangled Banner because he doesn't think that that's the greatest song to represent America. His favorite song that represents America is America the Beautiful. So every single WrestleMania begins with somebody singing America the Beautiful. One of our wonderful guests tonight, Danny, is staring at me like, I don't know why I said yes to this show. Too fucking bad. You're here and I talked about you on mic. You can't leave yet. Okay, so the ultimate America the Beautiful performance happened at WrestleMania 7. That featured Willie Nelson singing America the Beautiful in the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena. And that's a very small sports arena. And WrestleMania wasn't supposed to be held at the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena. It was supposed to be held at the LA Coliseum, which seats 100,000 people. But wrestling at the time was not doing very well. It was doing very poorly. Another thing that was going on at the same time was the Gulf War. So what Vince McMahon decided to do was say, hey, we got some terrorist threats. We're going to move it inside to this arena. That's a fib. He fibbed to everybody. So he put it inside and had Willie Nelson sing. And he sang America the Beautiful with a WWE championship around his waist. And that's a cool thing to do if you like weed. Number two. Most every WrestleMania has a guest host for reasons no one could understand. My favorite guest host is at WrestleMania 25, Kim Kardashian. Why is Kim Kardashian my favorite host and not The New Day? Because this is Kanye's world, and we're lucky enough to live at the exact same time as Kanye West. Kanye is God. I am a God. God is empty just like me. If you listen to the last episode, you'll understand why I'm saying that Billy Corgan and Kanye West are the same man. Anyways, moving on. My favorite pre-show of all time happened last WrestleMania, WrestleMania 33. It's called the Andre the Giant Memorial. That's where they put all the guys that aren't really doing well into a ring, and then they throw the other guys out. Once again, I know this is all fake shit. You'll understand why this is my favorite in one quick second. Rob Gronkowski, you know him because he giggles whenever you say the word 69, and he plays for the New England Patriots. He interfered in the match and then eliminated this guy named Jinder. And he hindered Jinder, and what did Gronk do? Not win the Super Bowl. You don't hinder Jinder. Okay, moving on. The best first match of any WrestleMania is Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at WrestleMania 30. Now, the moral of this story is you have to work with corporate to achieve your dreams. It doesn't matter what field you're in, you need to work with corporate to achieve your dreams. The second match on this card is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, brother versus brother. This is a wonderful story because no matter what happens in your family, you will hate your siblings. Moving on. This is probably my favorite WrestleMania match of all time only because I have some insider information. It's Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ravishing Rick Rude at WrestleMania 4. One of the worst WrestleManias of all time. The reason why this makes the list is because Jake and Rick Rude, real names, did not like the fan reaction they were getting at WrestleMania 4. So at the end of their 15-minute time limit, because there was a time limit for some bullshit reason, Jake whipped out his actual snake because in the 80s you could have a giant python and no one had a problem with it. And he hit some people in the front row. He swung the snake. He swung the snake and hit people in the front row. That alone is crazy. It's crazier when you realize that hit Ivana Trump in the boob. The snake hit Ivana Trump in the boob. You could watch this on the WWE Network for $9.99 a month. A drug addict hit a woman in the chest with a snake. That's not a euphemism. A literal snake. Now, that's the same WrestleMania where Donald Trump had some mobsters sitting next to him. And then remember when CNN broke that story? Like, oh my God, Trump hangs out with mobsters. Yeah, we know. We're called wrestling fans. It's been there since WrestleMania 4. Ivana Trump was not happy that she got hit in the boob with a snake. So what she did was she sent her goons to Jake the Snake Roberts' room to murder him. But lucky for Jake, he has a substance abuse problem and was not in his room. The moral of that story is if the mob is after you, never stop shooting up because you'll get away with it. All right, next one, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon. This is the first ladder match in WrestleMania history. Why is this important? Because it bumped other people from the card. Moral of the story is if things are going well for you, ignore everyone else. All right, moving on. Next one, John Cena versus Rusev, WrestleMania 31. This is important because Rusev at the time came out to the Russian national anthem, and there were Russian flags, and there's Vladimir Putin on the Jumbotron, and he came out in a tank. And that was in 2013, and that predicted 2016. Moving on. Next greatest match, Edge and Christian versus the Hardys versus the Dudleys. This is the most insane ladder match you'll ever see. This should not exist. This is the greatest argument for universal health care. These men are insane. And going back to Hart versus Hart, we have actual brothers, the Hardys, and made-up brothers, the Dudleys. One is white, one is black, ebony and ivory. Everything is beautiful. We can do this, everybody. Next greatest match, Flair versus Banks versus Becky Lynch, WrestleMania 32. This is after 32 years, the WWE realized, hey, women could wrestle. Isn't that nice? Women could wrestle. It took 32 years. The next one is Rock versus Austin. The reason why this is on the list is because Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be our president. Keep laughing, you dumb motherfuckers. Keep laughing. Look at what happened in 2016. Keep laughing, you dumb motherfuckers. Next one, Savage Steamboat 3. This is the greatest match that makes wrestling seem beautiful. This is when fake shit looks like art. That's what you want to watch. Next one, WrestleMania 29, Undertaker versus CM Punk. The moral of this story is make fun of the dead because it looks cool in video packs. Paul Bear just died, so CM Punk made fun of this dead creep. That's the moral of the story. Great match. Everyone won. And by everyone, I mean everyone except CM Punk. He's not in the company anymore. He's getting his shit kicked out of him in real life. Next greatest match of all time, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Not a Hulk fan. I understand why. Okay. I don't give a shit about this match in terms of a match. I care about this match because this was at the Silverdome, the Pontiac Silverdome. The WWE lies. So they lied about their attendance. So when the Pope came a year later, they had to bring in extra seats so the Pope could have the new record for the most amount of people at the Silverdome. WWE bent the Pope's will. You know who else bent the Pope's will? WWE Hall of Famer Donald J. Trump. He's a wonderful man. Finally, Daniel Bryan, Orton, Batista, WrestleMania 30. That's how you close it out. Our story has to have a beginning. Our story has to have an end. And the moral of this story is CTE doesn't matter if you're making people money. Daniel Bryan just came back to wrestling. He should not be wrestling. He's got a massive amount of CTE, but that doesn't stop anyone from watching the National Football League. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that none of you like this. Too bad. Too bad. Just because you don't like politics like I do doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you dumber than me. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage is a wonderful woman. She's the co-host of this show, and next month she will be the host of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Allison Lane, everybody. Allison, come to the stage. Thanks for doing the slow walk to the stage. I appreciate that. Let's stretch this out even further. Here you go.
Hi.
How are you,
I'm
Allison?
I'm great.
Yes.
Thank you.
What's been up with you? What
you know,
a horrible
stuff,
question.
Things. I found out something fun on the way here today.
Please.
Because I look cute as shit.
You do look
I'm
cute
dressed
as
like
shit.
A bumblebee. Like an African bumblebee.
I was going to say you dressed like Jubilee circa 1992.
Who the fuck is that?
From the X-Men.
Okay.
She had a yellow, a very cute yellow coat.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So there was a group of men that were staring at me and saying things, but I had my headphones in. So I stopped and just was staring at them dead-eye.
And?
And?
That's it?
They were just very confused that I stopped and was staring at them.
Yes.
And then I walked away. But then I did it again.
What an anecdote.
Whatever. It was actually more powerful because, you know, as a white man, nobody looks at you because whatever.
They just give me...
They just bow and say, thank you, Caucasian.
They offer me jobs and it's great.
Yeah, no, but these dudes were staring at me and I was like, hey... Just creep, just dead eye staring at
That's him. What Jubilee looks like.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Whose anecdote was worse?
Hmm?
Whose anecdote was worse?
Well, mine people could Google what Jubilee looks like, so I'm going to go with yours was worse.
Hi.
Since we last spoke,
yes.
Some things have happened.
Yeah.
A lot of positive things in the state of the United States of America. How is 2018 working out for you?
great.
Okay. You hate wrestling. We've established that on multiple shows.
Uh-huh.
Yet you are still friends with me and friend of the show, Chris Kelly.
Yeah.
And we wrote a book about wrestling and we
you
do a
did.
Show about wrestling, yet you still talk to us. How often do you consider not talking to us because we talk about this bullshit?
Almost never.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Why do you like the new Unknown Mortal Orchestra album so much?
Because it's delightful.
But only one song is great and the rest of it makes me want to nap.
Honeybee's also great.
No, it's not.
Honeybee's great.
American Guilt is an amazing song.
It is an amazing
song. Best song of the year. Everything else, big snooze fest.
How do I even argue that? I can't. You're louder than I am.
You finally realized how the world works. The louder the better.
I can't. No, it's an amazing album. I think that Honeybee was great. I don't know the other songs because I wasn't really paying attention.
Allison, when was the last time you took a trip?
This weekend.
Where did you go?
South Carolina.
What were you in South Carolina for?
My best friend's birthday. Or my best friend's wedding, and it was my birthday.
So your best friend's wedding.
Yes.
Which is a movie starring Julia Roberts.
Oh.
Set in Chicago, home of CM Punk.
Oh.
Great wrestler.
Was it really in Chicago?
It was in Chicago. They went to a White Sox game because it was way cheaper to shoot at then Comiskey Park than Wrigley Field.
I get that movie and the one where Notting Hill mixed up. They're the same.
Well,
aren't they the same?
They're not the same.
Okay.
One is progressive and features a gay man with a best friend, and the other one is someone that had to apologize on a prostitution tour, Hugh Grant. Remember that? Remember when that was like a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because Hugh Grant was like, oh, God forbid you pay for sex. What a dick. There's a big pro sex worker show. I'm being completely sincere uh-huh. right now. A big pro sexer. If you have any problems with paying for sex, look in the mirror. Figure out why you have a problem with that. They're not forcing you to pay for sex. Have you ever paid for sex?
Not recently.
But you have in the past.
No, never.
Okay, fantastic. Would you consider paying for sex?
How good is it?
Medium. Five out of ten.
5 out of 10, no.
Okay.
I can do that at Velvet Lounge.
Velvet Lounge is a great... It's a great... Velvet Lounge, one of the only bars that are smellier than the Wonderland Ballroom. I love this place. It's a wonderful place. Are you going to be going to Velvet Lounge later for James, Nasty, and Matthias?
Likely. Apparently, last time I was at Velvet Lounge, I picked a fight.
When was the last time you were at Velvet Lounge and did not pick a fight?
Never.
Have you ever stayed in a hostel?
No.
Do you have any ideas or feelings about a hostel?
Dirty.
Fantastic. Bringing up our first guest. I have only positive associations with hostels because of this man. That's complete sincerity. He's the head of the digital product team at Hostel International. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Danny Marks, everybody. Danny, you've been to the show. You know the show. Yet all these people do the slowest walk possible like they're in court. Danny, have you ever had jury duty?
Yes.
Hello.
You have had jury duty?
Yes, recently.
How recent?
About 3 months ago.
Can you talk about the case?
No.
Yes,
no, I can't. I went, I put in my name, and I was immediately dismissed.
That's a wonderful thing. I got called for a case, and then remember that snowstorm?
Yeah.
The snowstorm derailed the case, and it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And then the following Monday, they said, we're settled it. We're not doing it anymore. Because a lady says she got hit by a bus, and it was the corner of K Street, right where it's turning down to Massachusetts, I think. It's like a very, very difficult turn. And we saw the tape, and we were like, is that it? Is that the thing? And somebody said that out loud, when the jury's not supposed to say anything out loud. And we just said, that's it? So they just said, this is a bad case. We're going to stop this case. I think people have a lot of associations with jury duty and hostels. Look at that transition. She just said they're dirty.
Yes.
Why do you think that they're dirty?
I think of young people who are broke.
And I think of young people who are maybe looking to have some fun with each other.
Yeah.
In a foreign land.
Which is also dirty.
That is dirty.
Like ex-Tina, dirty.
Which means you're going to go back to clean stuff and be a guest judge on The Voice. Okay, so Danny, you work at Hostel International. You've looked there a very long time.
About 8 years.
That's a very long time.
Yeah,
I think I met you when you were on year one. Why are you laughing at that? That's how time works.
That's true. Every day.
Okay. So before you were head of the digital product team, you were the director of engagement.
Also true.
Okay. What the hell is that? That seems like a made-up job, but I know you did real work. So what did you do?
I oversaw all the team members at the properties in the U.S. that ran the programs, so the pub crawls, the walking tours.
How many properties?
We have about 60 properties in the United States.
That's too many. Okay. Now, 60 properties. How often are you on the road?
Less and less.
No. When you were traveling the most, how often were you on the road?
Probably about 50% of the year.
50% of the year. That had to be very hard to date.
It wasn't great.
Now you were married.
Not quite yet.
No, sorry. You were engaged.
2 months. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a trial right now?
A little bit. I'm looking at my fiance right now. He's just laughing at me.
You live around the corner from me. I see you all the time. You have a very wonderful, not hostile life.
That's true.
That's both a mention of where you work and the idea of being hostile to one another interview is going.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Well
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So how did you get involved with HI? Should I call it HI or should I call it Hostile International?
Either. They both work.
What do you prefer?
I prefer HI.
HI. How did you get involved with HI?
Applied for it just like you would any other job.
That's not how jobs work for me. I'm a straight white man in America. People like Allison have already established this. Well, I walk down the street. They go, "You want a job?" And I go, "Not yet." Let's burn other bridges, and I'll come back.
I wish.
So you just applied. But what drew you to it? Why are you still there after 8 years?
I mean, I love traveling. I love meeting people from all around the world. I like the loss of pretension that you get in a hostel when people are all just kind of sharing the same space.
Yes.
I think you get to meet the communities and the cultures of people in a way that you never would through an Airbnb or a hotel.
Well, before you were at HI, you were one of these idealistic youths. You were. I don't know if you still are. You were an idealistic youth, and you traveled, and you helped the world. What were you part of?
I was in the Peace Corps.
And where were you?
I was in Mongolia.
That's a faraway land.
It's cold.
Yes, when I... Okay, so this totally makes sense. You're a bleeding heart liberal, aren't you?
Occasionally.
Okay, so how happy are you with the state of American politics in 2018?
Not happy.
Why? It seems great. You're a straight white man in America. Look in the mirror. What's your fucking deal? Come on. Let's fight. No.
Come on.
Has business taken a hit since the election of 2016?
No.
Okay, really?
Yeah, hostling's one of those interesting industries like prostitution and drugs that no matter what is happening with the financial state of the world, people will still travel.
So when you think of hostels, you think of prostitution and drugs. The thought bubble. Those are the other two things you throw in there.
Yeah, same.
Great. I actually didn't have a bad time staying in the New York hostel because of you. You were both smart enough and dumb enough to let us do this show there. It was very interesting, say the least. Yeah, we did four nights of shows in 2011. Is that right?
That sounds right, yeah.
That sounds right. Would you let me do that again? I'm not asking. I'm just, would you let me do that again?
Sure, of course.
How desperate for programming are you to let me do this in different lands?
Not desperate. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of great programs. We run probably about 1,000 programs a year across all the properties. But nothing quite like what you got.
Yeah, I'm pretty special and unique. Did you ever do any wrestling programming at any of the hostels? Seems like an easy slam dunk proposition to me.
Yeah, that's probably the after hours stuff that I don't actually schedule.
You mentioned drug and prostitution. How often have you had to kick people out due to drugs and or prostitution? I'm assuming you have these numbers at the top of your head.
None that I can talk about. Working in corporate, mostly it's just sitting back and putting things into a computer.
You transitioned to the head of the digital product team 2 years ago about.
True.
What does that entail?
Making sure that all of our digital systems connect, so our database, our website.
Do you have a stronger database and computer system than the city of Atlanta? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Probably the same.
Okay, good. So if you get hacked, you could afford the $50,000 ransomware.
Not at all.
Fantastic. How often do you stay in one of these, I don't know how Allison phrased it, dirty places? Is that
one of the perks of the job is we get to stay free as we travel. So all the properties do have private rooms, so I take advantage of that.
How often, do you have a packing routine or do you just always have a bag packed?
I have a bag packed pretty regularly.
What's in it? Like, exactly, and how long? Because I like the idea of always having a bag ready at the go.
Yeah.
This is a tip. I'm looking for tips here. Yeah. Travel tips from the HI guy.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
I had a backpack that was always ready.
What was in your backpack?
Toothbrush.
Okay.
Passport.
Oh, I like that.
Extra underwear.
Sure.
And another shirt, because you can wear the same pants a lot.
No shoes?
No.
I'm just asking.
I'm assuming that if I'm on the go, I already have shoes on.
Touche. Okay. No jacket.
Nah.
No lightweight, packable jacket. Danny?
I'd say if you have to any advice is just pack less than you think you need.
Pack less than you think you need.
Always buy stuff wherever you are.
Now, you could buy stuff because you're a straight white man in Trump's America and things are working out for you. Is that what you're trying to say?
True.
Fantastic.
And you can wash things when you're there.
Do you think your relationship benefits from you never being home? Because when I was away from my wife or then girlfriend, it was the best. And part of me thinks maybe I got to get on this on the road racket.
No, I don't. I think it benefits when I'm home, which is why I took on the new job.
Yeah.
Which is when the relationship actually works.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make the relationship work?
I hope so.
That's not a hopeful question. It's not a hopeful answer. It's either a yes or a no. It's a binary show. There's no gray area in this show.
I like to live in a spectrum. I would say yes. I'm absolutely trying.
That's wonderful. Now, out of anybody that you've met at any of these hostels, have you formed any actual friendships? Other than the staff, yeah. Any of these fly-by-night weirdos that you're now pen pals with?
She knows who I'm thinking of.
You do. Fantastic.
Yeah. No, there was an interesting character at a hostel that we were staying at in New Orleans about this time last year that got very mad at my fiance, my girlfriend at the time, for not really tending to my heart garden. And
Wait, what does that mean?
He started to cry.
What?
That he was just feeling my energy, and it was really intense.
Please expound. Your heart garden? Is that what you said? Am I drunk? Heart garden?
I think he might have been on the drugs.
Okay, but what country is this man from?
He was American.
He's American?
Yeah.
Ugh, what a dirty American.
Right?
What do you think of the song American Guilt by Unknown Mortal Orchestra? I know the record came out today. You might not be that familiar, but you've listened to it a few dozen times, right?
Not yet.
Fantastic. Okay. Do you think that there's a future with this HI bullshit? Because I think it actually seems to be one of the few ways to travel that seems completely above board, mm-hmm. where it seems like every other week there's a new Airbnb scandal, every other week there's a VRBO thing, mm-hmm. Hotels are just too cost prohibitive, but there's this negative connotation. Like when I asked her, what is the first thing you think of? She thinks it's dirty. But I feel like there's a future here. What could HI or hostels in general be doing to make you seem less dirty?
You know, it's a lot of the perception, I think, is what other people take. You know, like, I don't know what we can do. It's consistently clean. We could probably get better marketing. But, you know, we're really not hurting. You know,
you're
the
not
properties
hurting.
Are 90% full nightly. It's pretty strong. So I don't know.
So the answer is nothing. You're fantastic. Don't ever change.
It's a lot about the perception and getting people out. Yeah, just to experience it. I encourage anyone who hasn't been at a property to go see a hostel.
You have one in D.C.?
We do have one in D.C.
And then where's your biggest footprint? Is it New York?
Largest property is in New York, yeah. It's a good square city block.
And then you have Chicago as well. I've been to the Chicago location. That's massive.
Yeah, that's it's a big building.
And then you have New Orleans. What's your favorite of all of them? If you're going to travel, you're going to recommend somebody to stay in a hostel as an adult human being. And when mm-hmm. I say adult, I mean over 30. Yeah. These young kids get out of here. You know what I mean? Right. But above 30, I could afford a hotel, but I'm going to choose to stay in a hostel. Which one do you pick? And why?
I'd say spend a weekend in Cape Cod. You could go into Hyannis and then go over to Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, up to Providence, and just stay in hostels the whole time.
I never thought of that. That's a wonderful suggestion. Yeah.
Who goes to Martha's Vineyard and stays at a place for less than $30?
Is it seriously less than $30?
Oh, yep. My God. But okay. Now I can finally afford to go to Diddy's White Party.
That's right. Have you been to Diddy's White Party?
I haven't been invited.
That's on you. Why aren't you trying more? Have you tried to get invited to Diddy's White Party?
Not good at the Instagram.
Real quick note here. Diddy was the musical guest at WrestleMania 29. What do you think about that?
I support it.
That's right. He was.
Why do you know this?
WrestleMania NYNJ. Because I wrote a book about it. That was the same WrestleMania that Trump was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. At his Hall of Fame speech, he goes, "This is the greatest honor of my life." He has yet to amend that. That's why he's not President Trump. He's WWE Hall of Famer, Donald J. Trump. Does the Cape Cod stuff have a private room?
Yeah, they all do.
How much are the private rooms?
Depends on the time of year, but couldn't hit you more than $40.
Seriously?
What?
That's fucked up. You should charge more. You should put it on. Have you thought about putting hostel rooms on Airbnb?
Yeah, and they just came out as what you call an OTA, an online travel agency. So they are allowing all hotels to start to put their inventory on Airbnb. It's a big...
Is that a big thing in the hostel community?
It is, because they're going to actually charge less commission than if you book through like an Expedia or a Priceline, which charges about 20% of every reservation. They take it off the top.
Well, this is fascinating stuff. Yeah. So is our HI properties going to be available on this stuff or no?
No, because we don't kind of align philosophically. So we decided not to put any of our inventory on Airbnb.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating to me.
I find so.
You should do the opposite and make more money that way.
Well, also, little known, we are a nonprofit organization.
I think that's a problem. I think you should switch to profit.
Just profit all the time.
Yeah, you should be a profit organization.
We're an earned income nonprofit, so all the money that we make goes back into new properties.
That's wonderful. Do you have a new property coming up that you're excited about? Or?
Well, the New Orleans property actually isn't open yet. So we were down there last year checking out a competition, which was fun due to secret shopping. So the New Orleans property is going to be opening up just a block off of Frenchman Street. So
could I be one of your secret shoppers and you just send me to stay in other cities to be like, you should put up a place here?
Yeah, let's talk.
Because I'm unbiased. I'm telling you should be for profit. And let's put these in blighted neighborhoods and kick out all the poor people. Am I right?
You are about a year out of our target demographic.
Perfect. Like in terms of like I'm too old? Or like in 1 year, I'll be perfect.
In 1 year. 1 year, you'll be a further year out of our target demo.
Damn it. Okay. You're a good man, and I think your organization is very interesting. I didn't say it was good, but it's interesting. Definitely the stuff you did in Mongolia, that was straight up good. No qualifiers here. This one, you should be for profit. I think it would be beneficial.
I'll talk to the boss.
Please don't. They won't like me whatsoever. I like you. If people want to find out more about this, they should go to what?
Go to hiusa.org.
Hiusa.org. Does the Trump administration have any feelings towards you guys?
No, but the Obama administration invited us in to host a travel abroad summit.
So it's a little bit
of a change.
So you're sad. Scenario. Oh, you're so sad. Not me. I got a WWE Hall of Famer over there.
Yeah, you're winning.
Yeah.
Go team.
It's all fake shit, you know. It's all fake shit. That's why I like it. Right. HIUSA.org. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Danny Marks. Everybody. Danny, thank you for doing this. Thank you. Coming to stage is a wonderful woman, and she's got, I'd say, the most difficult job in local journalism, not journalism as a whole, because I don't think anyone's threatening her life to this point. Oh. Fingers crossed. Okay, fantastic. Coming to stage. She might not be here by the next episode because she might have been murdered in the line of duty. Please put your hands together for Morgan Baskin, everybody. Morgan.
Woo!
How are you, Morgan? This is your mic.
I'm lovely. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for wearing a blazer. I like the color patterns of the people on stage.
Well, you're wearing a good jacket, so I think we look good up here.
We're looking good together.
Okay. We just talked about very temporary housing.
Very temporary.
Let's talk about some long-term temporary housing. You are, what is your official title? You are the housing complex reporter for the Washington City Paper.
Indeed.
Is it not the issue that's currently on stands, but the previous issue. You had a massive story about DC General. For people listening at home, DC General is a wonderful spot that has absolutely no problems. That's a low-income housing for everybody, and everything's going great. Did I get it right?
A little caveat.
Okay.
So DC General is the city's largest homeless shelter. It's also not supposed to be a homeless shelter.
Yeah. Oh.
It was a hospital.
It was a hospital. Hence the name. Yes. Hence the name.
So I think it was in 2007 that the city converted it into a homeless shelter. It was supposed to be sort of a temporary overflow situation. Because DC is a jurisdiction where it is mandatory in extremely cold weather conditions. You have to provide housing for homeless people. So it was one.
You know, basic human rights.
Yeah, yeah, basic human rights. They're good. Some people think they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one winter, DC General, turned into emergency overflow housing, and it has sort of stayed that way ever since.
Yeah.
Not intentionally.
And this is the year 2018 is the year it's supposed to close.
Yeah, that's what the city is saying. Yes.
Yeah, and. And the city won't give you an exact deadline. They just said end of the year.
Correct.
The city also said, like the city's a person. The city also said that.
Well, sometimes it acts as one very large organism, so.
There will be separate shelters in every single ward.
Correct.
But as of now, the only ward where there actually is a separate shelter built is in Ward 2?
That's correct, yeah. So,
and it's only a women's shelter, right?
It's only for women, yeah. So the plan...
Do you think that's sexist? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you want to talk about sexism or you don't want to talk about homeless?
Let's lean in on both. Come on. Bring it. Okay.
Remember the Mission, guys? That's now an expensive apartment building.
Are you talking about what we do with the show at the line?
No.
Which also used to be the old city paper offices.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The city's great.
It is great.
It is.
Everywhere.
It's great for me. Me, Brandon Weatherby. Okay. So, yeah, only one of the eight has been built.
That is correct.
Before you were at the Washington City Paper, there was a big to-do about the placement of these shelters in other wards.
Right. I love NIMBYism.
I'd like to point out your race.
I'm white.
Fantastic. Okay. So, do you, as someone that follows this stuff, if you had to put money down, would you bet that there will be eight working shelters by the end of 2018 for DC General to shut down?
For 2018? Oh, no. So the plan is not to have an operational site in each ward. The plan is to have an operational site in each ward open by the end of 2020.
Okay.
So they're only supposed to be three sites open by the end of this year.
What are the other wards that they're supposed to be open?
I think the ones that are supposed to be open this year are 1, 3, and 7.
Okay.
I could be totally off on
that. Okay. So where are these people that have been at DC General as of now going to go? In your piece, the city says, like, they're not going to be just thrown to the wind.
Right.
But in reality, it seems like the opposite might happen.
Well, that's certainly true.
Cool.
There's no
Speak
plan.
For the city, Morgan.
There's no
Come
plan.
On.
Yeah. There's no plan for where all these people are supposed to go. So, you know, the guidance that these people are getting, that the families are getting is, you know, you can apply for rapid rehousing,
yeah.
Which is a sort of a stopgap solution to being turned out on the street. You can apply for permanent supportive housing, but all of the programs that the city has, they're expensive, they're small, and, you know, you're just not equipped to have 800 people turned out onto the street at the end of the year. So it's a big question mark.
People should read that story. It's a very depressing story, but it's a worthwhile story. You should know about it. Let's talk about something that you wrote about this week that is not that depressing.
Sure.
Howard University. They got six of their eight demands met. Due to the sit-in, and one of them was about housing.
That's right.
They had some housing complaints, and you wrote about that.
I did.
What were their housing complaints?
Well, there are a lot of complaints, and these complaints have been going back years. So for those not familiar, there was a huge sit-in for over a week at Howard. I think it was the longest protest in the school's history. There was another similar protest in scope 50 years ago. But hundreds of kids were sitting into the school's administrative offices demanding things, you know, like affordable housing for students.
Yeah, crazy shit.
You know, crazy shit like buildings not falling apart,
yeah.
Like steam pipes not bursting in the middle of campus and, you know, breathing in noxious fumes. Mm-hmm. Those kids are incredible, right? Like, they pretty much accomplished everything that they set out to do, which was, like, have the university renovate the buildings that are falling mm-hmm. apart in a timely way. You know, and like being responsive to their request for maintenance.
It seems that regardless of what you're writing about, the core of it seems to be affordable housing. It doesn't matter what it's about. Because before this, you had that thing. I forget the acronym for it. But
TOPA?
TOPA, yeah, where
TOPA.
People could buy their houses that they're living
yeah.
in if they're renting. As an owner, I am against that, and I want to jack up the rent and turn everything into an Airbnb. And fuck hostels, too. They should be for profit. Anyways, affordable housing seems to be the issue that you cover. And lucky for you, it's the problem doesn't seem to be solving itself anytime soon.
No, I mean, I would say, and I think a lot of people that work for the city government would say, it's the biggest problem that the city is facing today. There are 30,000 families, low-income families, who don't have affordable places to stay. And this is not talking about homeless people. This is, in order to solve the affordability crisis in D.C., we need to create or preserve 30,000 deeply affordable units. And that is a huge number. I mean, for context, there are only... I mean, I say there are
no,
only, there are a little over 300,000 housing units total in D.C.
So over 20% of the population.
Yeah.
That seems like a conservative number, too.
Exactly. Well, that's...
Very likely. Yeah,
you
yeah,
said
yeah.
30,000 houses.
30,000 units.
30,000 units. And
yeah.
not every unit is 1-to-1, so it could be 1-to-2,
Still.
1-to-3. Yeah,
right.
So it's like, it's probably like 30%, 40%.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, for people who are making, if you have a family of four, maybe $30,000 or $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Which is a significant part of, you know, DC's population.
So real fun, light, fun stuff.
It's always a light and easy day at the city paper.